I think at this time in the scriptures, Simon felt like he had been a failure. On the last night of Jesus' life on earth, Peter made an impossible commitment. And he said to Jesus, "I will never run away. I will never leave you." But only hours later, Peter shouted, "I told you I don't even know him. Leave me alone." Now, Christ had died. Christ had risen. But I don't think Peter fully understood that. I think he was literally at the end of his rope. What had happened in the last 3 years, it kind of made him question what was it all about. I want you to imagine, use your imagination a little right now. In a few weeks, we'll see something going on throughout the whole United States. And I want you to imagine that it's a bright, sunny, late spring day in May. It may be outdoors at a university football field or in a school gym. Folding chairs will be set up row after row, and proud parents and family members will be stretching their necks to see. And down front will be squirming graduates in caps and gowns. It'll be here before we know it. And they'll look the very picture of scholarship. And suddenly feeling self-conscious, these grinning graduates will march across a platform. They will receive their diplomas, and they'll return to their seats with the rest of their classmates. These students, they felt so close. But many will never see each other again. And at the reception, a few minutes following, someone will walk up to a graduate and say, "Congratulations." And then suddenly, with tear-filled eyes, one of the students might say to the other, "You know, you may not realize it now, but these years we've just completed together, they're the best years of your life." And the person doesn't mean it to come across this way, but these can be some of the deadliest words one human being can say to another. It's like saying you may think you're at the threshold of something new in your life, but don't fool yourself. It's all downhill from here. I think that may be the way Peter was feeling in our scripture lesson this morning. He tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." You know, what a wild ride he had been on and the rest of the disciples had been on. But I think Peter may have felt, well, what's there to look forward to now? The best years of my life are behind me. What's there to do but to go back to my old life? And maybe in the back of his mind, he knew that one day he'd been holding one of his grandchildren on his knee, and he might say with a wink, "Did I ever tell you about the time Jesus invited me, a fisherman, to follow him?" And that little voice, that grandchild would pipe up and say, "Oh, Grandpa, you've told me that 100 times. But you know, that wasn't the way Peter's life unfolded. With God, there's no sad ending. Only fresh new adventures, new beginnings, calls to ministry. The Christian life is anything but boring. It's never finished. It only gets better and better. In our gospel lesson this morning, Peter and six other disciples fish all night, but they catch nothing in their nets. I think it's interesting that the disciples, professional fishermen, they'd probably have their own TV show here in the 21st century, never catch a single fish without Jesus. Not a perch, not a minnow, not even a guppy. And then when morning comes, after fishing all night, some guy on the beach calls out, "Friends, have you any fish?" And they answer, "No." And he says, "Well, throw your net on the other side of the boat and you'll find some." And when they did, they weren't able to haul that net in because of such a large number of fish. But take notice, the scripture says that even with so many fish, the net was not torn. I think this gives us an example of how successful we as Christian disciples can be. I think this indicates what can happen if all of us, individually and corporately, would fish as Jesus directs us to. And the question I have this morning, are we fishing as God directs? If we are, we'll catch fish. And Court Street United Methodist Church will grow. And much more importantly, people will come to know God. Our journey, our calling, is always at the beginning. As we mature in our faith, our responsibilities grow. When Peter and the other disciples had finished eating their breakfast with Jesus, Jesus takes Peter away from the others. For if you read on in the scripture, in verse 20, it says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And I can picture Jesus and Peter walking along the shore. And Jesus asked the question that goes to the heart of everything. Do you love me? And that question is asked and answered three times. And what each question gets in return is not a pat on the back, not Jesus saying, there, everything's all right, but a command, a fresh new challenge. A new commission. It's time to learn to be a shepherd. It's time to feed lambs and sheep, to look after them. You know, Jesus is trusting Peter in a big way here. Jesus is sharing his own work, his own ministry with Peter. Peter loved Jesus. And in gracious forgiveness, Jesus gave Peter the chance to wipe out that memory of the threefold denial by a threefold declaration of love. And Jesus does that for each one of us. He does it every day of our lives. I hope you know how much God loves you. And I hope you've accepted that love and that forgiveness for yourself. When I was writing this part of the sermon, I thought about a woman who many years ago I invited to a Bible study. It was before I even became a pastor. I was young then. And she was older than most of us in the Bible study. She was in her late 70s, early 80s. I was probably in my 40s then. And this lady had been through a lot. She'd had a tough life. She'd been raised by her father who never said anything good about her. She felt she was never good enough. And as an adult, she'd been through a number of abusive relationships where men had somehow been able to convince her that whatever had gone wrong in the relationship was her fault. And she felt she wasn't good enough. And one day after the Bible study, we began to talk about God and Jesus and salvation, about heaven. And this woman surprised me by saying, "Heaven will be a wonderful place, but I won't be there. I'm not good enough." She believed in Jesus. She loved Jesus. But the thought of herself being in heaven was too big a leap for this woman. And we went on talking that day. And like I say, it was a long time ago, so I don't remember a lot of specifics. But what I do remember is a light switch finally switched on. And this beaten down, defeated woman began to beam with faith and have a new assurance of salvation. She said, "Do you mean to say that I will actually be there, even me? I'll be with Jesus?" Simon Peter had denied even knowing the Lord. And he loved Jesus. And he denied him during the greatest time of Jesus' sacrifice. Peter felt that, like this woman, that he had failed God. And Jesus said to Simon Peter, and he said to that woman at the Bible study, and he says this to us. He says, "Throw out that old baggage." He says, "I love you. You love me. And I know that. And you are forgiven. Get over it and get on with it. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." And he says, "It's hard work. It'll take the rest of your life. But you're going to go through with it. And the world will probably hate you because of it. And you will die for the cause of it. But you love me. And you can't just fish for fish anymore. And I'm giving you a call that will never fade away. Follow me." I can remember an old high school buddy that said to me, once one of the same things that I said in the opening story. He said, "Bill, if I'd only known that high school would have been the best years of my life, I would have enjoyed it more." Court Street United Methodist Church. The best years are not behind us. They're ahead of us. God has called us to be a part of a great journey. And may we never take it for granted. May we never pass it up. The opportunity to be a part of God's big plan for you, for me, and for all those men and women and children all around this house of worship. And many of them do not even know what it means to be loved unconditionally and to be forgiven. You know, we failed many times. I have, you have, the church has. And I'm sure you can't remember it. I can't remember it. But what happened the first time you tried to walk? You fell. What happened the first time you picked up a baseball bat and swung it? You probably missed. And even those home run hitters in pro ball, They miss many times, but they do hit home runs. So I tell you and I urge you, fish for people. Invite them to come to worship, to take part in something that Jesus has called us all to do. Love them. Feed them. Take care of them. And someday in the future, we'll all be together. Maybe sitting on the porch of that mansion that's big enough to hold us all. And we'll all be gathered. Maybe sitting, sipping a cup of coffee. And someone will squint toward the horizon and see someone. Someone who's in a distance, waving us over, saying, come on over for breakfast, I prepared a meal. And when that happens, no one will have to tell us who it is. We'll all know that it's the Lord. And what a wonderful day of rejoicing that will be. Amen.